Go and walk in victory over doubt. Today we stand upon the unshakable truth of God's word as we explore what it means to walk in victory over doubt. Doubt is something that affects every believer at some point in their journey. Even the greatest men and women of faith have struggled with doubt. Yet God does not leave us in our uncertainty. He calls us to walk in victory over doubt. Our key scripture for today is James chapter 1 verse 6. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Doubt can shake us, but faith in Christ anchors us. We're going to explore three truths that will help us walk in our victory over doubt. Recognizing the root of doubt, reinforcing our faith with God's word, responding to doubt with trust in Christ. May the Holy Spirit illuminate his word and strengthen our faith. Recognizing the root of doubt. Doubt can arise from many sources: unanswered prayers, difficult circumstances, intellectual questions, or even spiritual attacks. It's important to recognize that doubt is not the opposite of faith. Rather, it's an opportunity to grow deeper in faith. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" The first recorded doubt in scripture came from Satan questioning God's word. The Hebrew word af, meaning indeed or really, introduces a seed of doubt in Eve's mind. In the same way, the enemy seeks to make us question God's promises, and we need to recognize this tactic as the first step to victory. Matthew chapter 14 verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" The Apostle Peter walked on water until he took his eyes off Jesus. He wavered, he hesitated, and allowed doubt to creep in. And we can allow doubt to creep in when we shift our focus from Christ to our circumstances. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus strengthens our faith. Think of a child learning to swim. As long as they trust their parents' hands, they stay afloat. But when fear overtakes them, they begin to sink. Our faith must rest in God's unwavering hands. To quote Charles Spurgeon, "A little faith will bring your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul." The goal is not to have perfect faith, but growing faith. Spurgeon's words remind us of a profound truth that faith is not about perfection. It's about progression. Salvation begins with even the smallest measure of faith in Christ. For as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, "You don't have enough faith." Jesus told them, "I tell you the truth, even if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." The goal is not to remain with little faith, but to allow our faith to grow stronger and deeper in Christ. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 that we are being transformed into his glorious image, meaning our faith should not be stagnant, but ever growing. Growing faith does not mean a life free from struggles. It means trusting God more deeply in the midst of our struggles. Faith matures when tested. As James tells us in James chapter 1 verses 3 and 4, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." A great faith changes how we live, how we pray, and how we trust God in all circumstances. A great faith allows us to experience the peace and joy of heaven in our hearts today, no matter what we face. As Spurgeon reminds us, A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Will you choose to cultivate and grow your faith today? Will you seek God, stand on his promises, and trust him more and more each day? Reinforcing our faith with God's word. Doubt fades when we immerse ourselves in the truth of Scripture. God's word is the foundation that strengthens our faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. The Greek word akoē means a report or message heard. Faith is built through continual exposure to God's truth, not by relying on our emotions or our experiences alone. Hebrews 11:1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The Greek word hypostasis means foundation or assurance. Faith is not wishful thinking. It's standing on the firm foundation of God's character and God's promises. If you think about it, a plant needs constant watering to grow, and our faith needs the daily nourishment of Scripture to grow. Without it, doubt will take root. Author and preacher Timothy Keller once said, "Faith is not the absence of thinking, but it is thinking and acting on the basis of the reality of God." Friends, let's anchor our thoughts in God's word. Keller's words, they remind us that faith is not blind. It's deeply rooted in the reality of who God is. True biblical faith is not an escape from reason, but rather a response to the truth of God's character, his promises, and his word. Throughout Scripture, we see that faith is not merely wishful thinking, it is trust in action. Again, as Hebrews 11 verse 1 declares, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith recognizes God's unseen reality and moves us forward in obedience. The Greek word for faith used in the New Testament is pistis, which means trust, belief, and confidence in the truthfulness of God. Faith is not just agreeing with God's truth, it's acting upon it. As James chapter 2 verse 17 warns us, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Faith is thinking, believing, and then stepping forward in obedience. Consider Abraham when God called him to go to a land he'd never seen. He acted in faith because he knew the reality of God's trustworthiness. Or when Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on water, it was not a mindless impulse. It was faith grounded in his knowledge of Jesus' power. Faith is both rational and relational. It's thinking deeply about who God is and choosing to trust him in every area of our lives. It's not the absence of thinking, but the presence of trust-filled action. May we be a people who walk by faith and not by sight, boldly living in the reality of our great God, responding to doubt with trust in Christ. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the choice to trust in God despite our doubts. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. The Father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Jesus did not condemn this man for struggling with doubt. Instead, he answered his request. Honest prayers will lead to deeper faith. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. The Hebrew word betach means to rely on or cling to. Faith is about complete dependence on God, even when we don't understand. A tightrope walker once pushed a wheelbarrow across a rope high above the ground. The crowd believed he could do it again. But when asked to sit in the wheelbarrow, few had the faith to act. Faith is not merely believing, it's trusting God enough to act. A.W. Tozer wrote, Faith, as Paul saw it, was a living, flaming thing that leading to surrender and obedience to the commandments of Christ. True faith moves us to action, and Tozer's words remind us that faith is not a passive belief, but an active, living, and dynamic force that transforms our lives. The Apostle Paul did not view faith as a mere intellectual agreement or as an occasional emotional experience. The Apostle Paul saw it as a burning passion that compels us towards surrender and obedience to Christ. True faith is not stagnant. It's alive, growing, and producing fruit. James chapter 2 verse 26 declares, "Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works." Genuine faith manifests in action, in submission to Christ, and in the desire to walk in obedience to his commands. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." His faith was not a cold doctrine. His faith was a passionate devotion to the one who gave everything for him. Friend, does your faith burn brightly? Does it lead you to trust, surrender, and obey the Lord Jesus Christ? Faith that does not lead to action is not the faith that Paul preached, and it's certainly not the faith that transforms lives. True faith is a living, flaming thing, a fire that refines, a light that guides, and a force that compels us ever closer to Christ. In conclusion, we've learned today that doubt has its roots in the enemy's deception. God's word is our greatest weapon against doubt. Faith is choosing to trust Christ even when we struggle. The question is, will you walk in victory over doubt? Will you stand on God's word rather than your fears? Will you fix your eyes on Jesus even in the storms? Will you trust him with your life, even when you don't have all the answers? If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Come to Jesus today. Let go of your doubts. Step into his perfect love and assurance. He is calling you to walk in victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that you call us to walk in your victory, the victory there on the cross, where you conquered the power of death and the power of sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to die in our place. Thank you for bearing our burden. Thank you for rising on the third day, having conquered the power of sin and death. And I thank you that for all who place their faith and trust in you, that they are assured of their sins forgiven and a place in heaven. Thank you for the victory that's already been secured. Help us to live and walk in that victory. Bless us and protect us, I pray, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.